Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark. Jesus has been teaching beside the sea. The crowds are so big that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, speaking and teaching to those gathered on the shore. Jesus has been sharing lesson upon lesson, parable upon a parable about faith and what it means to believe. He teaches of sowing seeds of faith and nurturing them, of not hiding our light under bushel baskets, of faith like a mustard seed. And now, after a day of preaching, he gets into his boat to sleep. It is evening, and much will happen when they get into that boat, as storms rage and Jesus reminds them of faith. And when the storm ends, when Jesus calms them, they will come to the other side of the sea. An encounter immediately, the very moment Jesus steps out of the boat, they will meet the Gerasene demoniac, a man shackled and restrained, living amongst the tombs with an unclean spirit racking his body. Storms are everywhere, but first, evening falls, and we are in the boat with Jesus. So now let us listen for the good news and the still speaking word of God for us on this day. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." He said, the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we enter this time of meditation, may you take the imperfect words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, directing them to a perfect understanding of your love, your care, and your presence is with us. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. There's a song I like by John Hyatt called "Have a Little Faith in Me," and it starts off, "When the road gets dark and you can no longer see, just let my love throw a spark and have a little faith in me. And when the tears you cry are all that you can believe, just give these loving arms a try and have a little faith in me." The song speaks of love that is there, open arms, no expectation, when our secret hearts cannot speak so easily, when it feels like our backs are against a wall, when it feels like we are falling. It speaks of a love that will hold us up, a love that is strength enough. Just have a little faith. That's what Jesus asks. I think that's the love he offers. Somewhere long ago in a boat in the sea, he asks us to have a little faith. He asks, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" He was sleeping, and the storms raged, great winds, waves beating into the boat, the water pooling and swamping the decks, and still, Jesus slept, comfortable on a cushion. But fear seized them, and they woke him and said, "Do you not care? We are perishing. Do you not care about us?" And the wind and the sea, they obey. He calmed the storm, telling it, "Peace, be still." And somewhere on a boat in the sea on a night long ago, he asked, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" But today, this week, this lifetime, we stand in boats in storms that seem never ending. Waves lash at the hull, the decks fill up with water, the wind whips around us, and we scream, "Do you not care?" And we hear those words spoken to us in our time, "Why are you afraid? Have a little faith." At Mother Emmanuel this week, the faithful gathered, four ministers among them. They were the people who had faith. They were the ones who came out during the week, the ones that came out during the night, the ones who came to pray. The faithful gathered in their sacred, holy church, a church that had birthed so many others, a church that had opened itself to prophets like Martin Luther King Jr. and others who called us into storms, who called us to confess our sins of indifference, who called us to have faith and to work for the justice and love of God to be realized. On Wednesday night, the faithful gathered at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, a city named the Holy City. They gathered for prayer, and evil walked into that beautiful and holy church and killed nine of them, nine faithful, loving disciples, because they were black. It should break your hearts. It should rip the words from you. The anger should beat the sides of the boat. The waves that have crested in Ferguson and Baltimore and Staten Island are swamping the deck. And it's beyond reasonable for the scream to form in your throat, "Do you not care?" There seem to be no words, no way to make sense of it all. We turn to God for answers, and it's hard to find any because this makes no sense. There's no reason for it, no greater plan, because God cannot be found in racism. There is no reason to be found in violence. There is no sense to be made in evil. There is no justification to be found in injustice. Nothing about this is God. Jesus weeps. But here Jesus stands in our midst and calls us from the indifference of the shore, the comforts of privilege, our sins of silence about racism and injustice, and calls us as a community, regardless of race or ethnicity or religion or gender identity or education and income, to name evil, to name that which separates us from God, to actively stand against the sins we see in the world, even when it is uncomfortable, even when the work is hard. Because we are all children of God, and if we believe that we are Christ's friends, that we are all God's family, then we are collectively responsible when one of God's family is hurt, if we truly believe that we are God's children. Jesus calls us not to make sense of evil, but to speak out against it and stand for God, to stand for God's injustice in our neighborhoods, our communities, our families, our countries, our world. Jesus calls us into a boat. And if you're going to get into a boat with Jesus, if you're going to partake in that wondrous relationship with God that is life-giving and life-affirming, love and hope-filled, well, then be prepared for storms. Be prepared for what getting in the boat means. It means welcoming all people into the boat. It means being vulnerable and honest, confessing to each other what we have done, when we have sinned against God and each other. It means making space for the broken and the sorrow-filled and the grief-stricken, and allowing them the space to rage and to be angry and to sob. It means comforting each other with grace and gentle reminders of love that don't deny the pain that we have seen and felt, but offers hope and assurance that no one is alone. It means weathering storms. It means having faith And to have faith is not just something we give lip service to. To have faith, it means to have a living faith. In the words of St. Francis, it means to preach the gospel and, when necessary, use words. Getting in the boat means actively moving on waters that will disturb us and walking onto shorelines where there is much work that needs to be done. It means offering radical hospitality, going out to find our neighbors and welcoming them, not waiting until they step on our door and knock at the place that is God's house. It means being the community of God's people by working for justice and engaging in activism that extends beyond our pews, by loving each other, loving our neighbors, our enemies, our churches, our communities with words and actions. It means loving God. And in Mark's gospel, yes, Jesus comes and stills the waters, peace, be still, but just for a moment. In the chapters that immediately follow today's scripture reading, storms rage again all around the boat. They arrive at shorelines and are met by a man who has been possessed by demons and has ripped off his shackles. Getting in the boat is not for the faint of heart. It requires a boldness, a courage, and a spirit. It requires faith and requires an honest assessment of each of us, of how we will answer as individuals and as a church when Jesus asks, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" So how will you answer? Because Jesus has faith in us. Jesus loves us so deeply in ways that break us open. And Jesus has called us to be disciples. Jesus has called us to live the good news and do the hard work of God's people. And working for peace and justice for all of this creation. Jesus has enough faith in us to invite us into the boat with stormy seas all around. Next week, you will begin a new chapter in your journey of faith as a church, and you have a choice of what you want that to be and to look like. Here's what I hope and pray for you. I hope, in the words of my favorite children's book, that each day you will remember that a day can bring hope and kindness. I hope that you will remember that you can make a wish and start all over again and you can find your way back home. I hope that you will remember that there is faith in the morning time, there is belief at noon, and that evening will come whispering and shine a bright round moon. I hope that you will remember that rain can show up at your doorstep and teach you how to dance, and that a day can change just everything, given a chance. So I hope and pray that you will leave the shores, not for a comfortable yacht, but for Jesus' boat that sails into deep wave-filled waters and offers the good news, that you will take on all that that means, that you will use your voice this week and each week to come to reach out to Mother Emmanuel, to reach out to our African American and Black brothers and sisters, and you will find the nearest AME church and send them a note that says you love them and that you are so incredibly sorry that evil ripped through their churches. And that because we have been silent or not loud enough, in our words or actions, you will take responsibility. That you will be silent no more and will stand with them. I hope that you will march for justice. Speak for justice. Anytime one of our brothers or sisters of different races or genders or religions, ethnicities, encounters the evil of injustice because of the nature of who they are, I hope that you won't wait, that you will truly be the home of Christ's friends that goes out into the world and welcomes all people. I hope that you will love Jesus deeply and let him love you back, because perhaps that is the hardest task of all. I hope that you will share your amazing gifts as disciples of God with our neighbors and the world, and I hope you will remember that church matters, that it gives life and it requires our lives and our faith to make it a place that offers love. You are a people of faith, of great faith, so have a little faith. Live each day well and make it count, and fill it up with all of you. You are a people of faith, so have a little faith and make the love of God real. May it be so for all of us. Amen.